Welcome to Osteopathy Unplugged. I'm Steve Paulus Dio.
And I'm Bonnie Gintis Dio. We're American osteopathic physicians, and we're a married couple devoted to the practice and the study of osteopathic medicine. We developed Osteopathy Unplugged out of our passion for osteopathy and the recognition that our profession needs a more intimate conversation about who we are and what we do.
Join us as we sit in conversation, talking about the inner and outer workings of osteopathy. Welcome to episode 27, The Four Anatomies of Osteopathic Perception, A Deeper Dive, Part 1. In episode 26, Bonnie introduced the concept of the four anatomies of osteopathic perception. Her presentation of this innovative way to interpret osteopathy in general and her pragmatic way to utilize this concept clinically potentially make the four anatomies an important expansion of A.T. Still's original ideas. We believe that being aware of the four anatomies will make you a better osteopath. Our podcast is presented to every osteopath, osteopathic physician, student, and new graduate who desires to explore the depths of our profession and become better clinicians. We also understand that many individuals who are non-TOs in the many varieties of helping professions are also interested in Osteopathy Unplugged. I have current patients who are listeners, and Bonnie has former patients who participate in order to better understand what osteopathy is and what it can be. Finally, Bonnie has several continuum colleagues and students who appreciate the overlap between osteopathy and continuum and enjoy taking a deeper dive into profundity of any kind.
That's why I love my continuum folks.
Of course. Speaking about taking a deeper dive, I'd like to talk about our deeper dive process in Osteopathy Unplugged. Bonnie and I love to discuss philosophy, clinical values, and profound beliefs. When we present an idea, often the full discussion is not possible in a single episode, so we add in a follow-up podcast and call it a deeper dive. It's also our version of a question-answer session, or what is sometimes called Ask Me Anything, or an AMA episode in podcasting. We commonly preview our podcast with key friends, colleagues, and listeners, and then elicit questions. This process allows for us to expand upon an idea and cover the issues that need further explanation or clarification. We believe that offering two- or three-part episodes provide you with a bigger picture and a greater understanding. We're including two deeper dives into the concept of the four anatomies of osteopathic perception. This episode includes key questions and important answers that help to expand and illuminate the overall topic. In episode 28, A Deeper Dive Part 2, we will present clinical vignettes that better exemplify how the four anatomies can be used pragmatically in the context of an osteopathic office visit. Now I'd like to turn it over to Bonnie for a second introduction to this episode and to lay the groundwork for this question and answer format. So take it away, Bon.
All right. I've explored and taught the four anatomies in many different contexts for quite a while, almost two decades. I've done this in its original continuum context. I've done this with osteopaths in lectures and workshops and in one-on-one mentoring sessions with both osteopaths and continuum people. This episode is based on common questions that have arisen, as well as questions from our listeners following the last episode where I introduced the concept. We get a lot of comments from young osteopaths new in practice, and we hope that the four anatomies can be a helpful way to create a broad foundation. We also get questions and comments from our colleagues, many of whom have been in practice longer than we have. They're delighted to encounter something new after decades of being an osteopath that makes them reconsider something they either took for granted or hadn't seriously considered. We're never too old for insight and inspiration. The process of learning as an osteopath is endless. And I want to remind you that the four anatomies isn't a new technique. The four anatomies is an invitation to examine your own perceptual skills and see if they need updating. You might incorporate the four anatomies as a structure or a map to help you know where to look when you evaluate and treat your patients, especially if you think the patient should be responding differently than they are. You might use the four anatomies as an exercise to, as we called it in a previous episode, proofread your practice. In this episode, we have 34 questions to cover. Steve is going to read the questions, and then we'll both discuss them. We trust that you'll find more than a few pearls of wisdom, deep insight, and profound inspiration. Steve, let's begin with questions we've gotten from our listeners.
Okay, question number one. How does the four anatomies concept fit into the whole of osteopathy, especially going all the way back to A.T. Still?
The four anatomies is my version of A.T. Still's challenge to dig on and expand osteopathy into the 21st century. I don't think there's anything in the four anatomies viewpoints that contradicts anything that Dr. Still taught us. Perhaps there are a few 21st century concerns that would be new to Dr. Still, but I don't think any of these would be counter to his philosophy and practice.
I agree. I believe that Dr. Still would have loved the four anatomies concept. The way I read osteopathic history reveals some interesting contradictions in Still's behavior regarding the growth and development of osteopathy. He was in favor of expanding our osteopathic understanding, but he was restricted in how he wanted our clinical practices to increase. So he would have loved the four anatomies, and he would have been disappointed in the direction taken by the American osteopathic profession. As we rapidly move towards amalgamation with the allopathic medical community, we drift slowly away from traditional osteopathic medicine. As osteopathy expands outside the United States, it's contracting within its country of origin.
Sad story, but true.
I know that I'm drifting off topic here, but as our listeners know, Bonnie and I are dedicated to a traditional osteopathic medicine approach and know that hands-on osteopathic manipulative medicine is one of the great unsung heroes in healthcare in the world. Finally, you may have noticed that I use the term traditional osteopathic medicine. Bonnie and I will be recording a future episode on this topic. What is the best label to assign who we are and what it is that we do? Many use the term traditional osteopathy. We like the phrase traditional osteopathic medicine. This offers a parallel phrasing with traditional Chinese medicine, traditional Tibetan medicine, etc. It also correlates better with osteopathic manipulative medicine. I like letting patients know that our hands-on work is medicine. It's a unique prescription. What we do is a remedy. How we practice is a clinical treatment. So stay tuned for this upcoming episode where we will talk about identity and naming. Okay, let's move on to the second question. Why do we need all these categories? It all seems a little complicated to me. Doesn't this put me in too much thinking and not enough doing? Can't I just treat the patient?
Yes, of course you can just treat the patient. The four anatomies is not a treatment technique. What I'm proposing is that there are two ways to use my model. As an exercise to take a fresh look at how and what you perceive when choosing how to treat your patient, or as a way to expand your versatility in diagnosing and choosing treatment approaches. We all can get caught in a repetitive habit of always considering our patients from the same viewpoint through the same set of filters. What I'm asking is for you to notice if you're trapped in any model. To use a different metaphor, a model is a map. What you perceive is your interpretation of the territory. Don't read your map and forget to look around at the actual territory. There's more in the territory than is represented on even the best map. And don't get caught in thinking you're perceiving the patient when you're just perceiving your own preference for the map. This is really subtle perceptual territory.
Yeah, but that's a profound, really a profound statement. This is a really key point of how people get stuck in their own habits.
Right. And I think it's important to make a distinction of having a direct experience of your own body. And when we're having an experience of somebody else's body, it's one step removed. In many ways, the map can become more of a reflection of the map maker than the territory it represents. So let's stay clear about who and what we are perceiving. Remember, it's just the view that's separated into four parts in the four anatomies. The patient is a complete holistic entity that cannot actually be divided into four parts.
I love your use of the phrase, expand your versatility in diagnosing and choosing treatment approaches. For me, the four anatomies doesn't just expand possibilities, but more specifically, makes us more versatile. Versatility is a synonym for individualizing our osteopathic treatments.
You know, it's so important because there's so many people who just settle on a preferred view and do the same kind of treatment to all of their patients all of the time. It might be a valid choice. I'm just asking people to be aware that they're making that choice and that when they do that, they might be missing something else.
Right. Because Dr. Still was adamant that we must shake off the dust of habit and not offer the same treatments to every patient. And so I think based upon what you just said, I think it's important to recognize that we all get stuck in routines and habits. That's still a reflection of osteopathy. It may not be a reflection of the best of us. But you're not just referring to us shaking off the dust of habits. There's another factor. What do we do if we're lost during a treatment and don't know what to do or what direction to take, or the patient is not getting better after a few office visits? Do we need to change direction in treating? How do we look at the patient with new eyes and a fresh perspective? Dr. Still wanted us to reason, to think through a problem based upon anatomy and physiology. He didn't want us to be robots. Of course, I just used a late 20th century metaphor. The idea of robots didn't even exist in the late 19th century. Still clearly stated, and I quote, "My compass is reason," period, end quote. He thought through medical problems in a unique way that integrated functional anatomy and a solution to altered structure and function by using osteopathic manipulation. To me, the four anatomies are pragmatic. They're thoughtful. They're also expansive, allowing for the osteopath to explore new dimensions in patient care. Okay, let's shift to the third question. Bon, what does it mean when you said that a DO needs to be a student of perception? How will paying attention to and refining my perceptual skills make me a better clinician?
First of all, an osteopath. The episode you've been listening to just faded out because you are not yet a subscriber to Osteopathy Unplugged. Please visit patreon.com/osteopathyunplugged and become a subscriber in order to have full access to the rest of this episode as well as the complete collection.
We have created a set of foundational episodes that will be available for free for everyone. These teachings provide an introduction to osteopathic clinical philosophy. However, the full versions of all episodes are only available through Patreon. Access Patreon through their app or through a browser page. Thank you for listening to Osteopathy Unplugged.
And thank you for your interest in the osteopathic experience.
Until next time, be well, listen deeply, and stay curious.